Readers Entertainment presents Book Lights, where we are shining the light on good books.
Good evening. This is Deborah Parmley, the host of Book Lights, and tonight I'm pleased to have Anna Harrington with me live on the show. Anna fell in love with historical romances and all those dashing Regency heroes while living in London, where she studied literature and theater. She loves to travel, fly airplanes, and hike. And when she isn't busy writing her next novel, she loves fussing over her roses in her garden. Welcome, Anna. I'm excited to have you on the show tonight.
Hi, Deborah. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, you write Regency romance set in the Regency era. For readers who might be new to the genre or to the era, can you tell us about the time period and what elements they might expect to find in your Regency romances?
Historically, the period was from 1810 to 1820 when Prince George was made regent of England when his father, George III, went mad. And so he was called the Prince Regent, and so he ran the country in his father's place, and so it's known as the Regency. So historically, we're talking about just a decade, but in terms of romance genre, writers will extend that. I've seen it sometimes up into the late 1820s for that period as well. It's my favorite historical period. It was even before I was writing Regency romances, because so much was changing in the world at that time. We had the American colonies had just become a new country, and so you can work in the War of 1812 in there. You've got the British and the Allies fighting Napoleon on the continent and on the peninsula in the Battle of Waterloo in 1815. You've got the rise of fashion and manners, and you still have that wonderful I think it was wonderful. It may not have been so wonderful for them, the class distinction between the upper class and the aristocracy, and then the middle class. It was just starting to come into its own. And if you read Jane Austen, that's like the Mr. Darcy characters, the men who aren't aristocracy but are becoming really landed and wealthy. And then, of course, the women and the fashions and the balls. And how could anyone not love this period?
It's a very glamorous period. And I'm so intrigued about your story, How I Married a Marquess. Can you tell us about your
It is the third book in my debut series, The Secret Life of Scoundrels, and it's the one that follows the hero is Thomas. And because of something tragic that happens to him in book two, he loses his position with the War Office as a spy. And so he has this opportunity to prove himself and get his position back. And so he goes to Lincolnshire to hunt down this highwayman who has been holding up the guests of the Earl who is there. And while he's investigating the highwayman, he meets Josephine. And she is the one woman who has been able to calm his anxiety and put him back in a good mental position since he had the accident. And he's just bowled over by her, and he doesn't know how to figure out how to keep the woman he loves and return to the War Office as a spy.
Ah, spies. Who can resist them? And highwaymen in danger. So much fun.
Yes, and he's a former army officer in the cavalry, so it's just you're throwing in all those wonderful elements that we love in historical novels in this book.
And of course, he's a dashing hero, I'm sure.
Of course. And, you know, I know we're not supposed to have favorites, but he is my favorite hero of the first three men in that series.
Ah. Now, can this be read as a standalone, or do we need to start with book one in the series and work our way through? And can you tell us about the series?
Yes. First of all, the book can be read as a standalone. You don't need to know what happens in the previous two books, but I think reading them in order will bring an extra depth to the characters and the background, especially reading book two before the last book, How I Married a Marquess, so that you find out what happens to Thomas. And I don't want to give it away. I've got so many spoilers all through this series that I can't give away too much. I'm trying to keep it all secret. The series itself, it follows three men who were comrades in arms in the military fighting on the peninsula in the Peninsular Wars against the French. And at the time that they met, they were all just average soldiers in the army under Colonel Westover's regiment. And what happens in book one is that Edward learns that his brother Stephen has been killed in a carriage accident. And so he is ripped back to England, where he is now the Duke of Strathmore. And he doesn't want the title. And all he wants is revenge against the man that he believes has murdered his brother. But because of the way he gets his revenge, he accidentally becomes the guardian of the man's daughter, who turns out not to be the little girl he expected, but a 21-year-old woman. And she is very independent. She wants to be a doctor, and she is not accepting of him as her guardian at all. So he has to figure out how to get his revenge without ruining her life and falling in love with her, when the last thing he wants to do is fall in love. Book two follows Nathaniel Gray, who was one of the captains under Edward on the peninsula, and he ended up getting shot in battle. Minor leg wound, enough that it sent him back to England. And so he is now working for the War Office as a spy and a spy master. And he is carving out this new life for himself. He's all set to return back to Spain and lead the War Office's efforts there when he gets news about Thomas. And Thomas is hurt, and I don't want to give it away because it's a spoiler, but Thomas asks him to go up to Yorkshire and fetch his sister, and Gray does, and she's not the little girl he remembers, but she's become this woman who has all of these secrets that have now put her life in danger, and so he has to protect her and the family and get her back to London and somehow then convince her that she is the one that was meant for him.
Very nice. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. I need to read these.
I've thrown in everything. There are balls and horse chases and highwaymen and duels. And if you want it in a historical romance, it is somewhere in this series, I promise you.
So now, will you stop at three, or will there be more in this series?
Well, there are just three in this first series, but Grand Central Forever just bought three more books in the next series, which is called Capturing the Carlyles, which focuses on the brothers in How I Married a Marquess. In that book, they're basically sort of like comic relief in the background, and they're basically the scourge of Lincolnshire, and they've got this wild reputation that leaves marriage-minded mamas, you know, all in a tither when they come near their daughters. And so they end up getting their just desserts when they meet three women who are just as wild and independent as they are.
Are your books available in audio as well?
You know, I don't know. That's a really good question. I would say probably not, just because I don't know anything about it. But I really don't know. I hope so. Keep your fingers crossed that someday they get put in audio.
So you lived in London. I imagine some of your experiences there have gone into your book. What kind of real-life research elements are in your book?
Well, I wish I could say that I was held up by a dashing highwayman. but mostly my experiences in London find their way into the books in terms of the settings. I'm really keyed into place. And so when I go to one of those grand old manor houses in England or one of the old castles or even you know, the parks and just stroll down a street in Mayfair or go to the Tower, that's where the atmosphere hits me, and that's where I get the ideas for the characters, and then the plots and the conflict just come out from there. So it was more about a sense of place and getting this feel of what it was like to live there. I was really young when I was living there. I was like 22 at the time, and I had no idea that I would ever be fortunate enough to someday write Regency romances. But I just had a ball there studying Jane Austen and the romantic poets, and one day we went hobbit hunting out in Kew Gardens, and it was just the most amazing time. So I definitely encourage anyone who has the opportunity to travel overseas, and if you like you know, Regency romances at all, you really need to go to England, and especially get out of London and get up to Bath and see all the wonderful settings where Jane Austen set her books.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I want to make sure that we get your website in before our time runs out. So tell us how readers can find you on the web.
You can find me at my website at www.annaharringtonbooks.com. And I'm also on Twitter and Facebook. And
very
I would
good.
Love to have...
Very good, very good.
Okay.
Where can readers find you in person? Do you have any events coming up?
The only definite event I have coming up is I'm going to be participating in the Moonlight and Magnolia Conference in Atlanta this fall. This summer I'm just hunkering down here at home and writing and trying not to kill off my roses. I do belong to the Nashville Music City Writers Romance Writers Group. It's part of the RWA, so I try to get up there for their meetings whenever I can. But right now I'm just enjoying being between series and just trying to get a jump on the next few manuscripts.
Yes. Well, you're not that far from if you head to Nashville because I'm in Memphis, just 3 hours away. So.
Oh, I love Memphis. I used to live over in Jackson. I lived in Jackson for about 7 years, and I was always driving into Memphis. They've got, I think it's called the Dixon Gardens and
yeah.
House.
Yeah,
and
very nice.
It's gorgeous, and they've got this beautiful English-style brick home, and that old house there in the Dixon with that beautiful brick and white detailing on the trim, that's the house that I used as the inspiration for the Chestnut Hill house where Josie lives and How I Married a Marquess.
Oh, I'm going to have to go back over there and check it out closer.
Oh, it is amazing. And I'm sure the docents got tired of me asking all kinds of questions about the building itself rather than the beautiful artworks inside it. But it really is an amazing place to spend the day.
We're getting close to running out of time here. And so I want to thank you for joining me here tonight on Book Life. It's been fun chatting with you, and I'm going to have to go check out the Dixon now and look around very closely.
Oh, definitely. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
And I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight to listen. You can join me next week for Lights, where we shine the light on good books. And have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on Book Lights. Be sure to connect with us at readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.